Today's Shiz Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Yud Daled. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Yud Gibel Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan. Yesterday, we began a discussion based on what we learned in our Mishnah that there are special halachas when we speak about Kisvei HaKodesh, when we speak about Sfarim. It was taught to us in our Sugyas where we're learning about dividing assets, and the question that came up was regarding dividing assets of property and assets of Kisvei HaKodesh. And Shmuel taught us that there was a difference in halacha when you were dividing one sefer or you were dividing a number of svarim, which led the Gemara into a discussion about Kisvei HaKodesh. So says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, if one wants to have all of Tanakh in one volume. And again, as we begin today's shiur, it's important to review that the svarim that they had were not in a book like we have, in a printed book, but rather in a scroll. They didn't even have printing yet. So says the Gemara, he may do so. Voice b'roishoy, Kedei Logal Omud, the amount of empty klaf he has to leave at the beginning of the sefer is enough that the omud, the piece, the pole on which the sefer is, that you have at the beginning of the sefer, you could roll around it one sheet of, you could roll around it enough klaf around that piece of wood. Ubisayfai, but the amount of empty klaf you need to leave at the end of the sefer is kedei logal hekif, enough empty sheet that it could cover the entire circumference of this sefer. Umesayim elmata, if you finished one of the sifrei neviim on the bottom of an amid, you could begin maschem amali, you can begin the next sefer on top, and you do not have to leave any empty lines. We spoke at the end of our previous year for the need to leave empty lines between the Sfarim. Here our halacha is that we don't have to leave any empty lines between the Sfarim. Vimba lachtach, if somebody wants to cut chaytach, you're allowed to cut, and immediately ask the Gemara, my kamar. Presumably, what the Gemara meant to say, what the Brice means to say, is that you're allowed to separate Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And what the Gemara's question is, of course you should be allowed to separate Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. What is the Brice coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara Hakama. But the Brice is coming to teach us, why is the halacha? The Brice is giving us an explanation that why is the halacha that if you finished one sefer of the sefer neviim, you could begin the next one on the top of the next page. Shabalach the choitach. If you're going to want to separate them, you're going to be allowed to separate them. And since if you're going to want to separate them, you're going to have now a new sefer of Navi. And that new sefer of Navi makes sense, should begin on the top of the page. So from here it seems, ask Tosfos, that this is something that you're allowed to do, that you're allowed to separate Sifrei Neviim one from the other. So ask Tosfos, as we said a few moments ago, the way we got into this entire sugya was by discussing that Shmuel taught us that one may not separate one sefer, one scroll. And here we're saying that you are allowed to separate. So the answer is that there's a difference when we speak about Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim to separate. That may be permissible. This, when we're separating Nevi'im, may not be permissible. But another teretz that I saw is that there's a difference when you're separating, why you're separating. If you're separating these svarim into separate volumes because that's what you think is best for your learning, that's permissible. But our Gemara is speaking about partners or brothers who are separating Svarim. When we speak about partners or brothers who are separating Svarim, that the only reason they're separating them is because they need to come up with a method how to divide, that a Sefer is not the place where you need to start thinking about how to accomplish dividing the Svarim. That's a bazaar to the Sefer. We learned in the Braisa that when somebody's writing a Sefer, how much empty sheet does he have to leave at the beginning and the end? For many, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Tchilas Sefer v'Sefer, when we have empty klaf at the beginning and the end of a Sefer, today logo, that's what the Braisa says. So first the Gemara analyzes, what does the Braisa mean? Kedei logel mai. When the Braisa uses the words kedei logel, what is meant? I kedei logel omed, if we're going to say that we have to leave enough over at the beginning, at the end, that we could, around just the omed on which the Sefer, the pole, the stick, kasha hekef. But we just learned that at the end of the Sefer, we have to leave over enough to cover an entire circumference. V'kedei logel hekef, if we're going to say that this braisa actually means that we have to leave over enough to cover the entire circumference, so then the question is, kasha omed. We just learned in the braisa that at the beginning of the Sefer, we only have to leave over enough to cover the omed. We don't have to leave over anymore. So how do we reconcile this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Litzdadim Ktani. We're trying to learn the Braisa, even though it says you have to leave over space, doesn't mean that we have to leave over the same amount of space at the beginning and at the end. Rather, as we just learned a few moments ago, the amount that's going to be left over is different at the beginning of the Sefer versus the end of the Sefer. Rav Ashi disagrees. And Rav Ashi says, Ki Tanya Hi, there's a difference between a Sefer Torah and Nach. The Sefer Torah, as we know, has two amudim, has two poles, one at the beginning of the Sefer and one at the end of the Sefer. Versus Nach only has, and when we roll it, not necessarily back to the beginning. So there's a difference, as the Braisa just taught us, between how much empty klaf we leave at the beginning of the Sefer versus how much empty klaf we leave at the end of the Sefer. Whereas Nach, we always roll it to the beginning. There's only one omud. In such a case, we leave enough for the entire circumference. Ketanya, as the Braisa indeed teaches us, Kol HaSfarim, all Kisvei Kodesh, Neglolim mitchilasan l'soifan. Since there's only one stick, it's rolled from around once. However, a Sefer Torah, since it has two amudim, nigla lemtziyasa, is always rolled into the middle. Vaisa amaloi eilach ve'eilach. And that's why we have to make two amudim to a Sefer Torah. Amar of Lozer bet Tzadik, kacha yekosvi svarim shebishlaim oisim l'sefreyim. And that's exactly the way the Sefer Yerushalayim would do. Tana Rabbanan, says the Braisa, Ein Oysen Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah should not be written, Loi Orka Yosra Al Kefoi, not the length of the Sefer Torah should be longer than the circumference, V'loi HaKefoi Yosra Al Orkoi, nor should the circumference be more the length. Rather, it should be written in a way that the length and the circumference should be equal. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that this is a mitzvah, the two halachas. Number one, that this is not a din in the Sefer Torah. This is a din in the Sefer. A Sefer who's approaching writing a Sefer Torah, the proper way of writing the Sefer Torah is this way, because it's in the category of Zeh Keli Vanveyu. We always want to do a mitzvah in the most beautiful manner. And having the length and the width the same is Zekeli Vanveyu. And moreover, if one did not make the Sefer Torah that way, if one did not write the Sefer Torah that way, it's only a lechatchila that it should be written that way. If it wasn't written that way, the Sefer Torah is still kosher. There are, however, opinions that say that this is a din in the Sefer Torah. And the Pashto Nafka Mina, it will say, if it's a din in the Sefer, or it's a din in the Sefer Torah, is, what will be the halacha if you didn't write the Sefer Torah this way? Will it be acceptable or not? If it's a din in the Sefer, so we're telling the Sefer, this is the way we want you to write the Sefer Torah, but it doesn't become absolutely essential to the kashrus of the Sefer Torah. If it's a din in the Sefer Torah, maybe that's the way we want the Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, Shalu es Rebbe. They asked Rebbe, Shir Sefer Torah b'kama, what is the proper size of a Sefer Torah? Amalahem. So he responded, as we have learned, there are different types of leather. There's gvil, which is leather that has not been completely processed. There's two. When we take the hide of the animal, we could split it in two. We have the part that's next, that's the hair, and we have the part that's next to the skin. So, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, when we spoke about the word gvil, we said stones that weren't completely smoothed out. What happens is, here too, we write it on the part which we split and doesn't have any hair on it. So when we write a Sefer Torah on gvil, the Sefer Torah should be shisha, it should be six tfachim. And as we're going to learn in a few moments, the reason it should be six tfachim is because the luchais, as we're going to learn, were also six tfachim, the klaf. But when we write a Sefer Torah on klaf, which is processed, leather, so it's thinner. So he says, Bekama, I don't know. Bekama, what's the proper shear there? Any day, I don't know. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Kasson Shivan Sifrei Torah, Sifrei Deraisa. Rav Huna wrote 70 Sifrei Torah, Vilasrami Alechad. And after writing all of these Sifrei Torah, he was only able to get one where the circumference and the length were equal. Rav Achba Yaakov Kasson Chad Amashchi de Igli. Rav Yaakov wrote one Sefer Torah on calf skin, the Sramilei, and he was able to succeed in having the length and the circumference equal. And the Yad Ramah says, from here we see that it's appropriate that that's the way to write a Sefer Torah, that we should write it on calf skin, because apparently calf skin will be able to work out to have length and width equal. Says the Gemara, Yahbe Rabbanai Nayu v'nach nafshei. And the Rabbanim was so impressed with what happened here, and because they were so impressed with what happened here, it was an ayin hara, and he passed away. And here again, we quote the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish explains, so he was successful in writing a Sefer Torah. He was successful in writing a Sefer Torah, one Sefer Torah, and he was right away successful in writing it with the length and the circumference being equal. A real accomplishment. So why did they, what caused him to die? What caused him to die was obviously an ayin hara. And explains the Chazon Ish that when we speak about ayin hara, the way to understand an ayin hara is not the Chas V'Shalom, the people who gave him the ayin hara, had any intention of harming him. If anything, they were most impressed and most happy with what he did. He was able to accomplish what our Gemara says one should try to accomplish. But rather, explains the Chazon Ish, that ayin hara is something which is completely uncontrollable, to the degree that the person who gives the ayin hara, who looked at them, at this person, and caused them to die because of the ayin hara, certainly had no such intention. Not only did he have no such intention, he didn't even know that that was what he was doing, that it was causing the victim to die because of an ayin hara. And therefore, he didn't know to do something not to cause the ayin hara to be given, and the person who received the Ayin Hara didn't know, didn't have any way of being protected from the Ayin Hara. It just happens by itself. Says the Gemara. Amar le Rabbanan Rav Hamnuna. The Rabbanan said to Rav Hamnuna, Kosa Rav Ami. Rav Ami wrote Abba Mei Sefer Torah. He wrote 400 Sefer Torah. So they said to him, this is something that's difficult to understand and believe, that somebody could write 400 Sefer Torah. Amalu, so they said, Dilma Torah Tzivalana Moshe Kosov. He didn't write the 400 Sefer Torah. In the Sefer Torah, he wrote the Pasuk 400 of Torah Tzivalana Moshe, which is a very important Pasuk, which is the Pasuk that we know that the Gemara says that when we start teaching a child Torah, that's the Pasuk we teach him, Torah Tzivalana Moshe. And as the Rishonim point out, that this Pasuk references the entire Torah, Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Marosha Kilas Yaakov. It speaks about what Torah is all about. And he was able to write 400 Sefer Torah, 400 times the Pasuk of Torah Tzivalanu. And the Yad Ramah says that what we learn from here is that many times we have the opportunity to write words in the Sefer Torah. Usually the meaning is that people only write just a few words in the Sefer Torah. But sometimes we have the opportunity to write more than, if we are able to and we know how to, we could write more than just a few words in the Sefer Torah. And what we're learning from here, says the Yad Ramah, is that if a person has that opportunity, he should use that opportunity. If he has a choice, he should write the Pasuk of Torah Tzivalana Moshe. And in fact, the Rashba says that the Gemara Masechet Menachos says, Halakeach Sefer Torah, if somebody, instead of writing a Sefer Torah, just purchases a Sefer Torah, says the Gemara, Kilo Chaytiv Mitzvah. Kasva, but if you actually write a Sefer Torah or have a Sefer Torah written for you, is then it's much higher level, Kilo Kibla Behar Sinai. Kasva by Ois Achas, or Shigi by Ois Achas, Malan Alav Kilo Kasva, if you write a letter or you fix a letter, it's fine. Says the Rashba, that the way to understand this halacha is as follows, that if somebody just bought a Sefer Torah, so we just learned that buying a Sefer Torah is not the preferable way of being mekayim the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. But what we learn from here is that if you bought a Sefer Torah and you write the pasuk Torah Tzivalana Moshe, then it's considered as if you wrote the Sefer Torah, not just bought the Sefer Torah. Amalei Rabba L'Rav Zeira. Similarly, not to Rabbi Yanai Abba Meya Karmi. Rabbi Yanai planted 400 vineyards in Eretz Yisrael. So again, hard to believe that that's what is, that that's possible. Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira said to him, maybe what it meant is that Dil Mishtaim Keneged Shayim Ve'Echad Yaitu Zonov. The Pasuk says that Umiya Ish, if somebody planted a vineyard and he didn't have a chance to have any benefit from it, if he's supposed to go to the army, he should return. So the halach is that planting a vineyard is an opportunity, is a reason that you should return from the army. So now the question is, what is the point of planting, what is considered a vineyard? So the halacha is, if you plant these five trees, two pairs facing each other, and then one, the fifth one sticking out, that's considered already a vineyard for which you come back from the war. And here, says the Gemara, because Rav Yanai was so anxious to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so that's why he planted many vineyards, but they weren't very large vineyards. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we learned when we spoke about the Sefer Torah, we spoke about the six tefachim. So as we said, now we're going to speak about the dimensions and how the Sefer Torah, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Luchas, and the Aron HaKodesh, the Moshe Rabbeinu constructed, how did it all look? So says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Aron Shasa Moshe, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed, Amasayim V'chetzi, Arkoi, 2.5 Amis was its length, V'am V'chetzi Rachboi, its width was an Am and a half, V'am V'chetzi Kamosoi, and its height was an Am and a half. That is explicit in the Torah. We know that when we speak about the Amma has the two ways that the two types of Amma. There's an Amma that is made up of 6 Tfachim, and there's an Amma that's made up of 5 Tfachim. So he says the Braisa, Amma Bashisha Tfachim. The Amma that we measured the Aron with was a 6 Tefach Amma. Ork Valuchis, now we speak about the Luchis. Ork and Shisha, they had a length of 6, Varach and Shisha, and they had a width of 6 tfachim, Vavi and Shloisha, and the thickness was 3 tfachim. Menachas Keneged Orka Shel Aron. The Luchis were placed into the Aron along its length. So if that's the case, one ahead of each other, Kama Luchis Eichlis, how much of the Aron did the Luchis take up? They took up in the length of the Aron 12, 6 plus 6. So now, if we started with 2.5, and the arm is 6 tfachim, so we started with 15 tfachim, 12 of those tfachim have been used up. So we have 3 of the 15 left over. Now, same mehem tefach, we have to deduct the tefach, for the walls of the Aron. And we left with 2 tfachim, shebehen sefer Torah munach. In those 2 tfachim, they put a sefer Torah. Shenema, how do we know that the sefer Torah was placed in the Aron? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk in Malachim says, ein ba'aron rak shnei luchos avonim, asher hunach sham Moshe. My ein ba'aron rak, what does the pasuk say, ein ba'aron rak? And the Gemara's question is that ein is a miyut and rak is a miyut. So says the Gemara, we have here a situation of a miyut achamiyut, of a double miyut, and the halach is that whenever we have a miyut achamiyut, whenever we have a double miyut, it's actually coming l'rabbis, it's coming to teach us that something else was there. What else was there? Sefer Torah shemunach b'aron, that's for the Sefer Torah that's put in the Aron. Yad Ramah, in Masechta Sanhedrin, gives us a number of explanations. Why do we say that ein miyut achamiyut el rabbis? So he explains that if the Torah wanted to exclude something, the pasuk wanted to exclude something, it would have been sufficient to write one miyut. So why is the second miyut there? So we have a rule that we often say, im ein inyan lemiyut, tenei inyan lerabbis. If the pasuk is not coming here to exclude something, it must come to include something. And that's why we learn from here a ribui. Another explanation says that we have 2 miyutim. The question is that what the Torah is saying with the second miyut is to not treat the first miyut as a miyut is normally treated. Normally, a miyut is treated that it's coming to exclude something. The Torah, by writing a second miyut, is trying to tell us that it shouldn't be, the first miyut should not be treated like a regular miyut. Says another explanation is that the second miyut is coming to be mamad from the miyut. The first miyut is here to exclude, but the second miyut says, don't exclude as much as you would normally exclude. The second miyut says, don't do so. The Rishonim ask that here we're saying, ein miyut achamiyut el rabbis, that when we have a double miyut, it's coming to include something. But we have, particularly very often, in the Masechtas and say the Kachim, that the Gemara says, shana lov akosov l'akav. If the Torah tells us a halacha twice, it means that it's absolutely essential. So there we're saying a double miyut It's certainly coming to exclude. And he was saying the opposite. So the answer is that it matters how the double miyut is expressed. If the double miyut is expressed with the same words, then we say shana lava kasev la'akav. But when we say, when we have a miyut achamiyut, like we have an our pasuk, ein and rak, but it's not the same word that's being used to teach us a miyut, then we say ein miyut achamiyut el rabbis. Demri Emes quoted his grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, who said that ein miyut achamiyut el rabbis. If a person constantly is working on himself, that he should be less and less, he should work on being humble and modest, le rabbis, that is a great person. So now, that was in the length of the Mishnah. So in the length of the Aron, says the Braisa, pernasta Aron la'orkoi. We've been able to calculate what is done in the length of the Aron. Now, say your parents Aron la'orkoi. Now let's figure out in the width of the Aron. So says the Braisa, kamaluchas oichlus Aron, shisha tfachim. How much is the width of the luchas? 6 tfachim. Neshtar sham, shloisha tfachim. We have left over 9 tfachim, because as we said, the width of the Aron was an arm and a half, 6 plus 3. Hatzeman tefach. So we already used 6 for the luchas. Now we deduct the tefach for the walls. Chetzil kaisel zev, chetzil, because chetzil kaisel zev, chetzil kaisel zev. Neshtai risham, shnei tfachim. Now we have 2 tfachim left. What was the purpose of those 2 tfachim? We need to have a little room for the Sefer Torah to be put in and out. Divrei Remeya. And of course, the Rishonim point out, why do we have to have room to put in and take out the Sefer Torah? The Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As we know, no one was ever allowed to go into the Aron, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So why would they be going in to take out the Sefer Torah? So there are a number of answers given. One answer is that they would take out the Sefer Torah occasionally because it was just left there permanently. It would become ruined. It would become moldy. Another explanation was that until, from the time of the destruction of Shiloh until the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Aron was more available. Another pshat that Rashi says is that this Sefer Torah, every 7 year, on the year after Shemitah, they would have Hakel, and at that time the king would read from the Sefer Torah, and this was the Sefer Torah from which they read. Rabbi Huda has a whole different approach, says the Gemara, to this. Rabbi Huda's approach is that the Aron was built. So for instance, it begins that the Aron was built with an Amah of 5 Tfachim. V'aluchais, Arkan Shisha. We go back to what the Pasuk says, that the Luchas were 6 Tfachim long, V'rachman Shisha and 6 Tfachim wide, V'avin Shloisha and 3 Tfachim deep, Menachas Barka Shel Aron, and they were put in the length of the Aron. Kama Luchas Eichlis, Aron. So how much of the length of the Aron did the Luchas take up? Shnei Masa Tfachim, 12 Tfachim, 6 plus 6. So now we have left over Neshtai Risham Chatzi Tefach. We have left over half a Tefach, which is the space of 2 Etzbas. Etzbal Kaisel Zev, Etzbal Kaisel Zev. So we have here a very fundamental machloikis. How wide were the walls of the Aron? And the Chasam Sofer points out that it's difficult to understand. They could be arguing, as we are learning in Machlokes, but how are they arguing on the width of the Aron, or the walls of the Aron, where according to Rameyer, the width was a Chatzi Tefach, and according to Yehuda, it was an Etzpa. So the Chasam Sofer explains that there's a we know that the way the Aron was built was Zav B'chutz, the Zav B'mifnim. It was gold on the outside, gold on the inside, and wood in the middle. And the question is, how was that done? And there are two opinions. One opinion is that they had three boxes, the outer box, then the inner box, and then even more inner box. The other opinion is that it wasn't made out of three separate boxes, but rather the way the Aron was built was just plated. So explains the Chasam Sofer, if it was made up of three boxes, obviously it's going to take up more space. And that's the opinion of Rameyer that says you needed a chatzi tefach. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was made out of one box, a wood box that just was plated with gold, and therefore it needed less room. Pranasta continues the Braisa, Aron la'arkoi. We've been able to understand the dimensions of the Aron towards its length. Now, Tseyu panasai son la'rachboi. Now we have to figure out the Aron la'rachboi, the width. So it says, Kama luchos oigdus ba'aron. How much of the width of the Aron do the luchos take up? Shisha tfachim. The shtar shom tefach mechza. We're left with a tefach mechza. Tseyman chatzi tefach. Half a tefach is used up for the walls. Etzba machzal lekaisel zeh, ve'etzo machzal lekaisel zeh. The shtar shom tefach. We're left with a tefach. Sheba amudim oimdim. So now there's a new concept that we learn, that there's something that was put in, another thing that was put into the Aron, and those were amudim. Those were poles. And the poles were made out of silver, not out of gold. The reason they were made out of silver, not out of gold, is because Ein Katega, Isis Aneger, they didn't want to make them out of gold, that it shouldn't remind of the Chet of Egel. And the purpose of those Amudim were to teach us that the Torah, the Luchas, are the Amudim. They are what we rely on. They are the support of the entire world. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Shir Shirim, Apirion Osloi Hamelech Shloima, Matzel Avoinov, Amudav Osel Kesev, Refidas Zov, Merkava Agon. The next was put up, Vagas, Sheshigur by Plishtim Dorim Lel Ke Yisrael. They had stolen the Aron from Klal Yisrael, and they put them, and they took the, and then they, when it was amongst the Plishtim, and it caused that they should all get sick, so they returned it, and they put it into a box, Munach Mitzidai, was put on the side of the orange, Nevas Kala Zava Sheshavitzlai, Oshem Tosimu Be'agaz Mitzidai, V'shalach Tamayisoy V'holach. V'olav, on top of this box, says the Gemara, Sefer Torah Munach, they had a Sefer Torah. Shnemar, L'koyecha Sefer Torah Zeh, V'samtan Oysu Mitzad Oren Bris Hashem, Mitzad HaMunach, it was put on the side of the Oren, V'loy B'toycha, not into it. Mani Mekayim, I asked the Gemara, we just learned that Rameyah said that the Pasuk of Ein Ba'Oren Rak was, with the double Miyit, was there to teach us that the Sefer Torah was in the Oren. Asked the Gemara, what will Rabbi Yehuda learn with that Pasuk? The rabbis, he says that pasuk comes to teach us shivrei luchas shemenachem ba'aron. From here we learned that the shivrei luchas were also put into the aron. Says the Gemara, v'isal kedatech sefer Torah kefer shishit tefachim. So now we had this machloikus Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, if we're going to say, and we said according to Rameyer, the sefer Torah was put into the aron. So ask the Gemara, Sefer Torah kefir shesh tefachim, that your typical Sefer Torah will have a circumference of six tefachim, michti. Kosh yesh be kefir shloish tefachim, yesh be roichav tefach. The Gemara teaches us a mathematical rule, that anything that the circumference is three times the width. So if we have a circumference of three tefachim, the width will be one tefach. And if the Sefer Torah has a circumference of six tefachim, the width will be two tefachim. But going back to something we learned earlier, the kivin delam tziosanog niglo, since the Sefer Torah we learned has two poles and it's typically rolled towards the middle, so that nafesh lemetrei tefcha, that space is going to take up room. If that space is going to take up room, your Sefer Torah is going to be even wider. If it's going to be wider, and we just said because you have the width, the space in between the two sides of the Sefer Torah, the two sides of the scroll. So if that's the case, it's taking up more than two tefachim. So ask the Gemara, betray pushchi, hechi Yosef. How did they put it exactly in the space? As we're learning, everything was so exact. How could they put it into such a tight space? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Achaba Yaakov, Sefer Azara, the Sefer that they had in the Azara, l'tchilosoi hu niglal. It was like the Nach. It only had one pole, and it was rolled into one scroll. So I didn't need more room. And as the Yad Ramah explains, we learned early in our Shia that that's not the way a Sefer Torah is normally written. Why was this Sefer Torah written that way? Explains the Yad Ramah, a Sefer Torah that's used on a constant basis is rolled with the two sides to the middle. But as we said before, this is not a Sefer Torah that was used on such a regular basis. So therefore, one pole rolled to the beginning was adequate. Vakati says the Gemara, okay, but it still hasn't really answered our question. Because ask the Gemara, trey betray, hecha Yosef, how could you put something that's two tefachim in a space that's exactly two tefachim wide? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, the karch bei purta, the karch leil. The left part of the Sefer Torah is sticking up, and therefore you didn't need the entire width. Ask the Gemara, or Rabbi Yehuda mekam deleisei argus. We learned that Rabbi Yehuda said that they put the Sefer Torah on top of the backs which the Plishtim used to bring the Sefer Torah back, the Luchas back with. But ask the Gemara, before we had that backs, Sefer Torah according to Rabbi Yehuda, hey Chav Yosef, he never had it in the Aron. Answers the Gemara, Dapa have enough Mene, there was a piece, there was a shelf that was on the side of the Aron, Yosef Alei Sefer Torah, that's where the Sefer Torah was put. Ask the Gemara, Ulrameya, Hai Mitzad Aron my Avalei, the Pasuk says, L'koyecha Sefer Torah Zeh, V'samton Soi Mitzad Aron. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we just learned, it was put on the shelf on the side of the Aron. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sefer Torah was in the, according to Rameya, the Sefer Torah was in the Aron. What will he do with this Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi Baile, he says that the Pasuk is coming to teach us the Mistach Le Mitzad, that the Sefer Torah is not put in the middle of the Aron, it's put on the side of the Aron. V'lo Misnach Bein Eluchei, we didn't put the Sefer Torah between the luchas, rather le'olam begavei min atzad. It was in the Aron, but it was on the side, not in between the luchas. Urameya asked the Gemara, Amudim hechikavikaimi. We've learned in our shir that there's something new that we have here, and that is the Amudim. So the Gemara wants to know where were those Amudim placed. It says the Gemara mevroi, they were put outside of the Aron. Asked the Gemara, Urameya shivrei luchas demnochem be'arim menolei. The Pasuk says that the Shivrei Luchas were put in the Aron. So according to Yehuda, we learned it from the Lima, the double miut of Ein Ba'aron Rak. But how Rameya used it, however, to teach us that the Sefer Torah is put in the Aron. So from where will he know that the Shivrei Luchas were put in the Aron? Answers the Gemara, Nafkalei Midrash Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna, Maidik Siv. The Pasuk says in Shmuel, the Pasuk speaks about the Aron. Asher Nikra Shei Shem Hashem Tzvakas Yosha Kruma Love. The Pasuk says the word Shem twice to teach us Melamed Shaluchais Vishivre Luchais Menachem Ba'aron. The Idach, and according to Behuda who learned this, that the Sefer Torah is in the, that the Shivre Luchas are in the Aron from the Pasuk of Ein Ba'aron Rak, what's he going to use the Shem for? Answers the Gemara, Ha'umi Ba'ilei L'chid Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rav Yechna Am Rav Shim Ben Yochai, Belamet Shashem V'kol Kenoyev Menachem Baron. They had a sheet that they had on it, the Shem Hashem, how the Shem Hashem is written and verbalized, and all the other Kinoy Hashem that they wanted to have for posterity put into the Aron. Ask the Gemara, V'idach Namim Ba'i Leila Hachi, doesn't Rameya need that Pasuk to teach us that Halacha as well? So back to where we started, how will he know that the Shivrei Luchas are in the Aron, says the Ma'ane Chanami. So if that's the case, as we just said, Elishivri Luchas, the Menachas Ba'ar Menale, Answers the Gemara, Nafklim the Tanur Reb Yosef. The Tanur Reb Yosef, the Pasuk says, Vechtav as Aluchas Advar Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vechtav al Aluchas as Advar Mashayu Aluchas Arishonim Asher Shibarta V'Samtam Ba'aron, Asher Shibarta V'Samtam. We learn from here, Melamed Shaluchas V'Shiver Aluchas Menachas Ma'aron. Vidach, and Rabbi Yehuda, what will he do with that Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Hum Bay Lechad Rish Lakish. He needs that Pasuk to teach us what Rish Lakish taught us. Dam Rish Lakish, Rav Lakish teaches us. What does the Pasuk of Asher Shibarta come to teach us? The Pasuk of Asher Shibarta comes to teach us, Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yash Koyach Asher Shibarta. I appreciate what you did, that you broke the Aron. So Mar V'Shem explains that the Torah HaKadosh ends the words with the words, L'chol HaYorach HaZaka, L'horat Mar HaGadol, Asher Asa Moshe L'Enei Kol Yisrael. And Rashi explains, Asher also moshe leinu kol Yisrael, shenasa liba lishbay haluchas leinayim, that he broke the luchas in front of everybody. So he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu said that we received the first luchas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, and as we know, there were koilos of brokim. There was a situation of yira, of tremendous fear in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave the second luchas, brought them down in a very different atmosphere, in a different environment. It was an environment of a hava. So just like the first Rashi in Chumash, and this is the connection of the first Rashi and the last Rashi in Chumash. So just like the first Rashi in Chumash teaches us that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that you can't live with Midas Adin, that the world can't be run with Midas Adin, v'shitef imay, and therefore he accompanied with the shift Midas Adin, the Midas Arachmim. Moshe Rabbeinu also did the same, that he changed the environment of the first Luchas, which was Midas Adin, to the environment of the second Luchas, which are Midas Rachmim. And for that, he got a Yashikoyach. It's something that we should give him a thank you. Then I saw another pshat, and that is when we received the first luchas, the Gemara says, if we would have remained with the first luchas, no one would ever forget their learning. Only after the breaking of the luchas did we have shikha, that people forget what they learn. I saw the Mefarshim explain that now that we forget our learning, so that means we have to constantly review our learning, and we have to be constantly learning. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashikoyach, we give a Moshe Rabbeinu Yashikoyach, but because you broke the luchas, now we forget our learning. And once we forget a luchas, that's when we forget our Torah, so we're learning all the time, and a life where we're learning all the time is a life that we want to appreciate. Another pshat that I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that if he would bring the first luchas, if he would leave them with the luchas, they Klai Yisrael would be in a very bad place. So he took the courage to break the luchas for the benefit of Klai Yisrael. And for that, he received a Yashikoyach. Another pshat that the Rambam suggests is that people, after Moshe Rabbeinu broke the first luchas, were saying that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu did the wrong thing by breaking the luchas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an announcement, Yashikoyach Sheshibarta, you did the right thing. We also have been learning that the Shivrei luchas were put in the Aron. What is the lesson of that? So the lesson is that the luchas represent the whole luchas, and the Shivrei luchas represent broken, to teach us that a person in his approach and his behavior as a Talmud Chacham has to have this combination of the luchas and the luchas and the shivrei luchas. But one thing that has become extremely clear in our shir is that the way the luchas were in the Aron wasn't that they were side by side; they were actually one after the other. And therefore, I saw in the Shalos Tshuvos, Tshuvos and Haggis, Chelk Bay Simon Tuf Kuf Lamed Hey, there's a very big discussion about many shuls. Daran HaKodesh is left on top. There's on top of Daran HaKodesh, they make like luchas. And there's a question if that is appropriate. And the question really has two parts to it. One part, as many Paiskim, I saw the Shalos Shuvos B'Tzelel Chochma, and any Paiskim discuss, is that the Gemara says that they wanted to have that the Aseres HaDibros should be recited every day. And they stopped it because having the Aseres HaDibros recited every day will cause people to believe that the Aseres HaDibros are different than the rest of the Sefer Torah. And because of that consideration, we tried not to single out the luchos. So that's why we shouldn't have, according to that, the minig, not to have the luchos on top, separated, distinct, on top of the oren. But then there's another explanation based on what we're learning in today's shir. And that is, it says the Tshuva Sven Haggis, it's not even put up the way it's supposed to be put up. Because it's supposed to be put up, if we want to follow the way it was in the Oren, they were one on top of the other, not side by side. We've also been discussing the halo about all about the Oren. And the question that Cheshukei Chemed discusses is what happens if you have a shul and the shul doesn't have a Sefer Torah? Should the shul still have a... should they still make a Oren? And similarly, we know in certain places by davening, particularly on the Yom and the Roim, we open up the Oren. Do we open up an Oren that doesn't have a Sefer Torah in it? And he seems to suggest that an Oren is part of the way a shul looks. And therefore, even if we unfortunately don't have a Sefer Torah in that shul, we should still, even if we don't have that shul, we should still put up an Oren. Tana Rabbanan. Sidran Shel Nevi'im. What is the order of the Nevi'im? Yeshua v'shoiften Shmuel u'malachim v'yimei v'cheskel Yishayu shneim asar. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Hashaya Kadim. The first Navi was Hashaya. The Pasuk says, T'chilis Dibra Hashem b'Hashaya. So the question is, V'chim Hashaya Dibra T'chila? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the first Navi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever communicated was Hashaya. Ask the Gemara, V'loivim Moshe v'Hashaya kam Nevi'im hayu. From Moshe to Hashaya there were many Nevi'im. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, what does it mean? Shehu hayu t'chila arba Nevi'im sh'nesnabu bo yisaperek. He was the first of Nevi'im at that time, V'elahein, Sheshay v'Yishaya amasa mechiyo. So says the Gemara, so if that's the case, that Hashaya came before these other Nevi'im, l'gdemil Hashaya v'Reisha, so why isn't Hashaya first? Answers the Gemara, Kivin d'ksiv nevosa gabichag Zechariah Malachi, since he said nevuah at the same time as Chag Zechariah Malachi said nevuah, v'chag Zechariah Malachi b'soif Nevi'im havu, they were the last Nevi'im, choshele bedayu, he's mentioned together. Ask the Gemara, v'lichtamei l'chudev l'kadmi, so why is he not put separately and put first? Answers the Gemara, this is the entire concept of Trei Osur. Either the Zutter, since the Sifri Nevi'im in Trei Osur are all small, and there was a concern that if we're going to keep them separate, they may get lost, Mirchus, so that's why it's put together there. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Yishai Kadami Yirmiyah V'cheskel, Yishai came before Yirmiyah V'cheskel. So if so, Ligdameli, Yishai Bereisha, Yishai should be mentioned first. Answers the Gemara, Kivim the Malacha Soif Echorbana, the end of Malachim speaks about the Churban Beis Migdash. The Yirmiyah Kula Churbana, and the Tai Sefer Yirmiyah speaks about the Churban Beis Migdash. The Shalayim Reisha Churbana, the Yecheskel is Reisha Churbana of a Sefer Nechemta. The Yishaya Kula Nechemta. So we do some the way it was placed with some Chin Churbana L'Churbana. We put one Sefer that speaks about Churban, Melachim, next to another Sefer that speaks about Churban. And then we have Nechamta L'Nechamta. So therefore, the order is Melachim, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yishaya. Sidrin Shal Ksuvim. What is the Seder of Ksuvim? Rus V'Sefer Tehillim. Iyov U'Mishlei, Kehel, Shir, Shirin V'Kinnis. Daniela Megillas Esther Ezra v'Divrei Yomim. And the Mefarshim try to understand why, what is the difference when something is in the category of Nevi'im versus something which is in the category of Ksuvim. What is the difference? So they explain that the Nevi'im were written, the Nevi'im were written with the express purpose, different levels of Nevuah. And Nevi'im were written as Nevuah. They were given purely as Nevi'im, as Nevuah. Ksuvim were not given to those people in that fashion. The sort of the difference that we've spoken before between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. The Reb Chaim Brisken says the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is Nevi'im were given originally with the purpose that that the whole purpose of the Nevuah is to be able to communicate to Klal Yisrael this message. Ksuvim weren't given with that express purposes. We're going to have a discussion about Eiv, an extensive discussion. Ask the Gemara, according to the opinion that Eiv lived in the time of Moshe, so she should be written first. Says the Gemara, Eiv represents Peronius, that the suffering of Eiv. So ask the Gemara, Rus Nami Pernosi Hava. Rus also represents Peronius, about the hunger and the situation that Klal Yisrael was suffering. So why is Rus the first of the Ksuvim? Answers the Gemara, Peronius Islay Akris. It starts difficult, but it ends with a happy ending. Damar Yechla Namal Kishmai Rus, Shiatzman David, David Melech came from her, Shivuala Kadesh Baruch Hu, that he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beshiris Vishishbachis. And therefore, that's why Rus is the first, and that's why I saw that the Mashah explains why is Rus called Rus? Maybe it should be called Naomi. Naomi is as much of a heroine in that sefer as Rus. But we want to bring out the point of Rival HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the connection between Rus and David HaMelech, and the Shiris v'Shishbachis that David HaMelech taught us that we constantly sing to Hashem.